Chicago tonight, partly cloudy, windy, and not so cold, with temperatures on the rise. They should get up to around 30 tomorrow. Then on Thursday, decreasing cloudiness and cooler. At Midway Airport now, it's 11 degrees, 17 at the lakefront, 15 above at O'Hare Field. The humidity 70% and the wind is south at 14 miles per hour, making for a wind chill index of 15 below.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
And now, the distinguished award-winning news commentator, Howard Beale.
Listen to me. Television is not the truth. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. In God's name, none of it is true. You people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right in the middle of a set.
Prepare yourself for a perfectly outrageous motion picture. MGM presents Faye Dunaway, William Holden, Peter Finch, and Robert Duvall in Network by Paddy Chayefsky. Directed by Sidney Lumet. Produced by Howard Gottfried. Network, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent. Released by United Artists. Network. Television will never be the same.
Now playing at a theater near you. Check your newspaper for listing.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Whether by summer glancing up at the contrails or by winter hearing the muted everyday roar of takeoff or landing, the great gray ghosts which prowl the upper reaches of our skies are always with us. The airplane is a constant in all of our lives, and constant is a good word. So seldom, so very seldom, does anything halt their appointed rounds, except that, like all things that man has built, they are not perfection. That is the attribute of God alone, no matter how hard man strives.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your hostess, Pamela Winters. There has been a temporary failure in our pressure system, and for your comfort and safety, Captain Chip Ames, our pilot, is making an unusually rapid descent. Do not be alarmed. This sudden descent is merely a safety measure. Please be sure that your safety belts are fastened and that all cigarettes are extinguished. Most of all, don't worry. There is no danger.
Our mystery drama, The Lone Survivor, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone with a parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
Northwest Federal Savings has just moved its office at Harlem and Irving to new larger quarters in the enclosed Harlem and Irving Mall. And you're invited to a moving celebration at all five convenient Northwest locations with over 30 name brand gifts. Make your move to your neighborhood Northwest Federal now, and you could add life to your home with a Boston fern plant, or select a handy pair of Whisk scissors, or Presto Burger, the easiest burger maker around, or pick up a Kodak Pocket Tele-Instamatic camera outfit. Now those are just a few of the moving gifts in store for you, all free or available for special reduced prices when you save $250 or more. So join in the moving celebration and make your move to your neighborhood Northwest Federal Savings Center soon, because this moving celebration will be moving away on January the 17th. One gift per family, please.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
Most of us have flown at one time or another, secure in the knowledge that no matter what butterflies we may feel on occasion, we are using the safest method of transport in the world. And that includes simply walking across the street. But there is that special word, but. But nothing in life is inescapable. And there is the occasion when any of us may be caught in any kind of accident, just as terrifying and dangerous as this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have dropped the oxygen mask because of the speed of our descent. Simply place them over your nose and mouth and breathe normally. Please be ready to lock your hands in front of your face as shown in the manual and brace yourself against the seat in front of you. In case of an emergency landing, hold your seat until you receive instructions over this PA. Should it fail, please note the nearest emergency exit.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, I am J.P. Henderson, Vice President in charge of operations for Federal Airlines. This is a bulletin on the status quo. One of our planes, bound for the Hawaiian Islands, encountered the phenomenon known as clear air turbulence, as you've already been informed. There's no sense mincing words. Apparently, the plane, after ditching, broke up or sank. To the best of our belief, there's only one survivor, presently in the intensive care unit in the hospital here. I wish I had more to report. It's useless to ask questions because I have no answers. I'm sorry.
Has he come to, Dr. Setchfield?
Yes, Mr. Henderson, he's conscious.
Who is he?
I don't know.
You mean he's still so anesthetized?
We didn't have to anesthetize him. The man's injuries are minor. Miraculous. There's nothing really the matter with him except...
Except what?
He doesn't know who he is. Classic amnesia.
You mean he suffered brain damage?
No, absolutely not. No evidence of any concussion or other somatic injury. No evidence of nerve involvement.
Well, then how? Why?
Amnesia is a law unto itself, Mr. Henderson. Psychologically, if the trauma is severe enough, any individual is capable of short-circuiting his whole mnemonic system and blocking out something that he does not prefer to remember. If you had been through the experience that our Mr. X suffered, wouldn't you perhaps try to pretend it never happened?
Well, block out the happening, okay, but well, surely he can remember who he was, why he was on the plane, where he was headed for.
Well, the mind can't always be that selective. The man you are interested in doesn't even remember getting on the plane, where he was going, or why he was going, or who he was before he did, or who he is now.
Could I ask him a few questions?
Oh, I don't think he's ready for that.
Can I examine whatever effects he had with him when he was admitted to the hospital?
Not very well.
What does that mean?
Mr. Henderson, when our patient was picked out of the Pacific by the helicopter, he was naked as the day he was born. Any identification you want to make will have to be strictly from his birthday suit.
We'll have other ways of pinning him down.
Of course you will. And, second thought, there's no real reason why you can't see Mr. X. He's in no physical danger, and you can't hurt him as long as you go easy. I'll go in with you if you like, but I'm due in OR in about 15 minutes.
I'd appreciate having you there. I think maybe I ought to check out any little thing he might remember. Hello.
Hello.
I'm J.P. Henderson, Federal Airlines. The airline on which you were flying when the accident occurred. Do you remember the accident?
No.
I'm sorry to trouble you under the circumstances, but, well, it's an unusual state of affairs. As I said, I'm J.P. Henderson. May I ask your name?
Oh, you can ask it. I can only give you the same answers I give the doctors. I don't know.
I see. And you don't remember anything about the accident?
Not a thing. Mr. Henderson, I don't remember anything until the moment I woke up in this hospital bed.
I think we ought to let this gentleman have his rest, Mr. Henderson.
Of course. I'm sorry to have bothered you, Mr.
Sir. The person who bothers me most is me. Doctor?
Yes?
Supposing I don't remember who I am after a good night's rest.
Oh, it may take a little time, but you will.
No. Supposing I still don't. How do I find out?
Well, I'm sure the airline can render that service.
How?
At the moment, as my patient, I suggest that you just relax and allow nature to restore your memory. Oh,
thanks for the kind words. I don't know how much they help. How soon can I get out of here?
Well, is there any hurry?
Oh, I don't know. I just have this... I don't like to be sick or dealt with as a patient.
Well, in your particular case, I wouldn't like it any more than you. But let's face facts. If I released you, where would you go?
I guess I don't know.
Yes, Gloria. Sure. I got all the reports. Found them on my desk as soon as I got back from the hospital. Good girl.
Who?
I don't know it. Oh, FBI. Yeah, I've been expecting they'd nose into it. Send them in. Isn't one headache, it's another. Mr. Drummond, come right in.
Yeah, thanks. FBI, my credentials.
Very impressive. Sit down.
I'll just look around a moment.
Be my guest. Speaking of which, I'll offer you something to drink.
I never drink on the job.
What can I do for you?
You got a plane down. How come?
One in a million coincidence. Mechanical failure and atmospheric conditions beyond our control.
You say?
No. The pilot. You can listen to the tapes. I have them right here.
We will, at first. How can you be sure there was no foul play?
Communications. Until the moment he ditched the plane, the pilot was in touch by radio with the tower.
Why'd he ditch?
At 33,000 feet, there was a rupture in the fuselage. We can't account for that. Cabin pressure was dropping so rapidly that the pilot brought the plane down in a steep dive to an altitude where the passengers could breathe normally. But at 10,000, as he started to level off, he hit a freak situation.
Skyjacker, bomb, saboteur?
No. A phenomenon known as clear air turbulence. Under normal conditions, if he hadn't been at the decline ratio he was posed in, he could have handled the plane. But a huge downdraft forced him to ditch on the water. Wave heights were 6 to 8 feet. The plane broke up.
No survivors?
Only one.
What's his name?
I've just come from the hospital. He couldn't tell me.
Yeah, he injured that bad?
No. He has some bruises. Possible cracked ribs, some slight facial abrasions. Otherwise, he's fully conscious. Except for one thing.
What?
He can't remember his name.
Oh, come on.
I'm perfectly serious. He doesn't know who he is or anything that happened up until the moment he came into the hospital. He has amnesia.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be handled. We'll get his name.
It won't be necessary.
How come?
We've had people up all night checking on the passenger list. His name is Theodore Mason Williams.
Address?
17061 Parthenia.
You say he hasn't been completely accounted for. Haven't you checked his home?
I was just about to try again when you arrived. His phone hasn't been answering.
Anyone who should?
He's married. We believe he has a wife.
Or had.
What does that mean?
How come he was traveling alone to Hawaii?
Well, he might have been on business of some sort.
Of some sort, yeah. Look, I'm only checking this like maybe there was some federal problem. I still don't know. There isn't. But you're in my profession as many years as I've been. You get a long nose.
What does that mean?
Something smells funny. If I was you, I'd start digging up that wife fast, get the local police in on it. I mean, this thing has had a lot of publicity. Papers, TV, radio, and all. How come Mrs. Williams hasn't been on the pipe or worried about her hubby, huh? Maybe you're really gonna have to dig her up.
I don't follow you.
Put it all together, Mr. Anderson. Guy on a lone trip to Hawaii. Little woman left behind. Big plane crash. Looks like everyone bought it. And the wife doesn't even check in to see if her hubby did too. On top of that, hubby turns up alive in a hospital. Only he claims he don't know who he is.
Well,
wouldn't you figure there was something screwy going on here?
Well, would you? Or are you scarcely as cynical as Mr. Roscoe Drummond of the FBI? Do you really believe that Mr. Theodore Williams has that sometimes most convenient of disorders, amnesia? And if he hasn't, why should he fake it? Most intriguing and chilling of all is finding Mrs. Williams. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Put your trust in what you feel. Put your trust in what is real. Give your cold to contact.
In my hand is a little capsule. It's tiny, yet it contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. It's Contact. The same 12-hour Contact you can buy. This year, Contact with its tiny time pills will touch more lives, help more colds than any other cold medicine, tablet or liquid. Think about that the next time you're sick, sneezing, dripping, or clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine. by contact. We're number one in the whole world.
If you're cold to contact, real medicine for real calls.
Take one of these, Turtle.
There's a shop with a friendly old-fashioned Cracker Barrel atmosphere right on the magnificent mile of North Michigan Avenue. It's Hickory Farm's specialty food shop, and their grand opening is going on right now. Take a stroll through and sample Hickory Farm's delicious cheeses. There are 126 different kinds, and they're all cut fresh from the wheel. And don't forget to pick up their famous beef stick sausage, too. And for the bread lover, Hickory Farm has loaves of real Jewish rye bread that weigh 30 pounds each. Hickory Farms at Water Tower Place is perfect for all your holiday parties and get-togethers with specialty foods, candies, party trays, and snacks. Looking for an unusual Christmas gift for a special someone on your list? Well, Hickory Farms offers you delicious food gift packs at reasonable prices. Come to the grand opening of Hickory Farms on the 7th floor of Water Tower Place. And be sure to ask for Carla, the manager. Or if you're in the suburbs, try Hickory Farms at Woodfield Shopping Center, Yorktown Shopping Center, and Lakehurst Shopping Center. That's Hickory Farms. They have laid word on the hijack attempt at San Francisco International Airport. There is a confirmed report that the hijacker, identified now as United Airlines mechanic Palm J. Hinnant, fired a single shot inside the aircraft. No one was injured. Reporters and policemen on the scene say Hinnant fired the shot, apparently to demonstrate that he had a working weapon and meant business. The hijacker is now asked to be joined by his girlfriend and a male friend. His intentions, however, still are not clear. Now back to the Mystery Theater.
Some hours have passed while Mr. J.P. Henderson of Federal Airlines has been busy holding off the press, meeting with the CAB and other agencies automatically involved in a major disaster, instigating constant phone checks on Mrs. Williams, all unanswered, and finally calling in the city police. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Dr. Malcolm Sedgefield is patiently trying to bring the survivor out of his lost world by cautious and gentle free association.
You don't remember before the crash?
No, Doctor.
Or the crash itself?
No.
Or being in the water, struggling to keep afloat?
No.
Taking off your clothes so you could swim more freely?
No.
Or the helicopter picking up?
Oh, come on. This is just a waste of time. I don't remember anything, even my own name, for Pete's sake.
All right. Now let's just take it easy. Why don't we try some indirect questions? I'm just going to shoot some words at you. All I ask you to do is to react without thinking. Reflexes, all right?
Yeah, I know what free association is.
Just answer the first thing that comes into your head, Yeah. Crash.
Plane.
Water.
Cold.
Black.
White.
Winter.
Summer.
Wife.
Husband.
Mother.
Father.
Name.
Title.
First name.
Second name.
Second name.
Family.
Heart.
Son.
Son.
Father.
Father's name.
David.
David who?
Don't know.
Rain.
Umbrella.
Umbrella.
Dry.
Warm.
Bed.
Woman. Wife.
Woman?
Her name?
Mrs. The... Whose name?
The woman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your wife.
What wife?
You were going to tell me her name.
I don't know what you mean. Look, Doctor, I've had enough of this. There's nothing wrong with me except I can't remember some things, okay? I've been that way after a hangover. I want to get out of here.
No. I'm afraid we can't let you go yet.
Why? What have you got on me?
We haven't got anything on you. But you are the result of a major accident that killed everyone but you. So naturally, we have to keep you under medical observation for a while.
Observation? Okay. But I don't have to be in this hospital. I want out.
Where would you go?
I don't know. A hotel, a motel. Where are my clothes and things?
You see, that's the whole point. You haven't any clothes or things.
Well, you mean you found me naked? No clothes? No money? Not in a wallet or something?
When the helicopter picked you up, you were stripped to the buff. So let's be practical. If we were to let you go, where would you go? Without clothes, money, or any identity?
Now, you mean honestly that nobody has the slightest idea who I am?
Well, not exactly. The airline has checked out the ticket reservations and established who was on board. So by the process of elimination, they're now pretty sure who you must be.
Who?
I'd hoped the name would come from you. But all right. Does the name Theodore Mason Williams strike a chord?
Should it?
It appears to be your name.
How do you know? How can you prove it?
Because you... If Mr. Williams is who you are, you have a wife. And just as soon as the police find her, we'll bring her in to identify you.
Police? Why the police?
At the moment, nobody has been able to find your wife. She appears to be missing.
Yes, Dr. Sitchfield.
Oh, Mr. Anderson, I've just come from questioning our mystery patient and running the most basic of psychiatric tests on him.
And?
I'm afraid I didn't learn much.
He still has amnesia?
Yes, apparently.
And he still hasn't said his name or who he is?
No. And I must say, it seems to me you, at your end, could provide the answer to those questions more easily by having his wife, if she is his wife, identify him for sure.
Well, of course. Trouble is, we haven't yet found the lady in question.
Oh, well, then perhaps the police should be called in.
They already have, Dr. Sedgefield. Detective Lieutenant Dominic Calisi is with me now. He has a... What do they call it again, Lieutenant?
APB, All Points Bulletin.
Yes, an APB out for Mrs. Williams right now. He expects to find her soon and... Excuse me just a minute. Oh, Lieutenant Calisi would like to talk to you for a moment, Doctor.
Thanks. What's his handle?
Sedgefield.
Yeah, Dr. Sedgefield?
Yes, speaking.
Yeah, this here is Detective Lieutenant Calisi, City Police. I want to ask you a favor, Doc.
Oh, of course, any way I can help.
Well, I'd like to send over a police photographer to take a shot of your patient there. Any reason why not?
No, I don't think so far as I or the hospital is concerned. Because we don't want to excite the patient.
Oh, no. We won't disturb him, Doc. No flash, no light. He don't even have to know his picture's being taken.
I don't think the hospital could go along with that. I mean, isn't that invasion of privacy? After all, we have been keeping the press out.
Mm-hmm. At his request?
Well, no, but I have the feeling that...
A feeling? Let's write on facts, Doc. I'll send you over a photographer, a fingerprint man, and you check out your patient, see if he's got any objection. Now, if he has, we'll take it from there, okay?
No, sir. No, sir, Dr. Sedgefield. Absolutely not.
Well, now, it's only a picture. I'm sure if the lieutenant wanted to, he could get a court order.
No, it isn't only a picture. It's fingerprints. I don't want my fingerprints taken.
Well, there's no criminal suggestion. It's only to try to identify you.
I thought you said you'd turned up a wife of mine, or someone you said was my wife.
But it's got to be your wife, since this Mrs. Williams had a husband traveling on the plane. And you're the only man on the plane who hasn't been fully accounted for. So who else could you be?
I tell you, I don't know.
But don't you see, even though your wife is missing for the moment, a picture of you in the papers could be recognized by someone else in your family or among your friends. Or your fingerprints might leak.
Yeah, where do you expect to find those? In the police files?
Mrs. Williams is married to a man in the diamond business. As Lieutenant Calisi suggested, it's reasonable to suppose he may have been issued a gun permit, in which case
no.
His finger...
No. Now, all I want to do is to be left alone. Now, if you find I have a wife, let her come and identify me. Now, get out. Get out of here!
Lieutenant Khaleesi?
Speaking.
This is Dr. Sedgefield.
Oh, hi, Doc. You get anywhere with the guy?
I'm afraid not.
Oh. What's he scared of?
Well, Lieutenant, I can only answer you in general terms. See, it's a tremendous shock to the nervous system for anyone to find out that suddenly his whole life is a blank.
Yeah, if it is. Doc, how do we know this isn't just an act?
We don't. We just wait. If it is, he'll make a slip sooner or later.
Okay, Doc, we won't shake him up yet. Anyhow, what I'm looking for is another court order. I want in to the Williams house. I got a hunch between my shoulder blades talks to me as loud as my bunions. That FBI guy was right. Mrs. Williams is home all the time. And she's got a real good reason for not answering the phone.
Well, what reason?
Because she can't, Doc. And you know why she can't?
Why?
Because I think she's dead. That's why.
I'm not sure that I ought to be here, Lieutenant.
It's all perfectly legal, Mr. Anderson. I have a court order permitting me to enter the house.
It's all right for the police. You have a reason to search, but why me?
I thought you might like to be in at the death. Hey, it's a bad joke. Let's say I wanted to give you a break.
What do you mean, a break?
Well, if I find what I expect to find, it's going to be back on all the front pages and the TV. Drag up the whole crash story. Keep it alive. Now, I don't like to see the airlines hurt. They got too good a safety record for the few things that do go wrong to stir up such a racket.
Look. You seriously think that this man murdered his wife and got caught by the incredible accident of our plane going down?
That's right. This amnesia jazz is just a cover-up. Or maybe soon will be, was just a cover-up.
It doesn't make sense. Lieutenant, why Hawaii? If he murdered her. Why not Mexico, South America, Europe, anywhere, out of the States?
Because. I'll let you in on a little something the Hawaii police filled us in on. Mr. Theodore Mason Williams was booked into the Honolulu Sherry Hill. He had an appointment with some buyers the day after the flight landed to sell a little packet of diamonds he was bringing with him, valued at pretty close to $250,000. The payoff had been set up a week in advance, and the condition was the money was to be in cold, hard cash. Not a bad little getaway stake, huh? Okay, boys, I guess that's it. Hey, do a blank. Go on, you can all get back to regular duty. Bonnie, you wait for me in the car.
So, looks as if our boy isn't faking after all.
I don't know. All I know is I sure faked myself out. What are you doing?
Just rubbing some plaster or something off your sleeve.
I was sure I'd find her body in this house. Of course, he could have dumped her somewhere else, maybe even buried her in the garden.
You're still convinced that Mrs. Williams is dead?
Hey, when there's a homicide around, I can smell it every time. Plus, one little new gleam
of... Don't you try to stop me, officer! I want to know who these men are!
Bronski, it's okay. I'll handle it. Now, wait a minute. Who are you?
Look, I think it's more to the point for me to ask that question. I'm Mrs. Theodore Williams, and I'd like to know just what the devil you're doing in my house.
Now that's a shocker, isn't it? A woman consigned to death by a seasoned detective who turns up as large as life. A whole theory to fit an assorted set of facts blown to dust. And in the wake of it, the same old problem that has faced us since the beginning. Who is the lone survivor? And is Mrs. Williams the one who can give him back his identity? I shall return shortly with Act Three.
I guess I'm lucky. My family's always been healthy. Oh, a touch of constipation now and then. But we've got X-Lax for that.
When you need a laxative, shouldn't your first choice be the one more families buy than any other? That's today's X-Lax. Families like the chocolated taste. You'll like the way X-Lax works, gently overnight for relief in the morning. Next time, make gentle chocolated X-Lax your first choice for occasional use only as directed.
We've always been healthy, and X-Lax is part of that.
15 minutes. It's such a short time. But if your friend has had too much to drink and tries to drive in 15 minutes, he could be dead. You could save him. Care for him. In the same 15 minutes, you could put him in a cab or drive him safely home yourself. 15 minutes. Take the time. If you don't and your friend dies, think of all the years you'll have to live with it. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
You probably know where to buy a standard 60-watt bulb, but do you know where to get a case of 8-foot fluorescent tubes? It's the same place you'd go for a 60-watt bulb, the True Value Hardware Store. Hotels, motels, restaurants, banks, offices, and factories, to name just a few, have found their True Value Hardware Store to be a complete and convenient General Electric light bulb source. You can find General Electric fluorescent tubes, halogen spotlights, color bulbs, and much more, including a 60-watt bulb. And this Christmas, you'll also discover True Value Hardware Stores to be a source of miniature Christmas lights for indoor and outdoor holiday decorating. So whether you're looking for a standard 60-watt bulb or a case of 8-foot fluorescent tubes, you'll find them all at your participating True Value Hardware Store. WBBM Chicago.
Now let us return to the three people we left a couple of minutes ago. Mr. Henderson, official of Federal Airlines, embarrassed beyond belief. Lieutenant Dom Calisi, for once in his life caught off guard. And the attractive, tall, willowy woman who has entered trailing with her an aura of sense and sensuality, all heightened by her barely controlled rage.
I'll say it again. Just what the devil right of you in my house? Which one of you is Detective Lieutenant Calisi?
That's me.
Huh? And this other man?
Mrs. Williams, with my apologies, I'm J.P. Henderson from Federal Airlines.
Oh, for the police, there might be some excuse, but for you... And how did you get in, Lieutenant?
Perfectly legal, Mrs. Williams. I had a court order to search the premises.
To ransack my house? Rummage through all my private possessions?
Well, not exactly, As you can see, Mrs. Williams, the police search was limited to one thing.
Yeah, for the purpose of ascertaining whether or not...
police suspicions that person or persons deceased may be... What deceased person? Who did you think was dead?
Well, begging your pardon, you, Mrs. Williams.
Me?
You have been missing for almost 3 days.
Oh, how do you know that?
Well, in the course of the investigation, naturally, we...
What investigation?
Let me handle this, Mr. Henderson. And Mrs. Williams, did your husband catch a Federal Airlines flight for Hawaii the day before yesterday?
What business is that of yours?
Mrs. Williams, you know you don't have to answer my questions. You know your rights, but it seems harmless enough.
All right. If it's so important, there's no way I can deny it. I mean, I saw him off, headed for the plane and a business appointment in Honolulu. I suppose he took the plane. I didn't actually see him board it. Oh, please, won't you tell me what this is all about?
In my capacity as an officer of Federal Airlines, Mrs. Williams, I think you have every right to a full explanation. Now, first, let me assure you, your husband is perfectly safe.
The man we assume to be your husband.
I just don't understand.
Of course you don't, obviously. Well, look, have you read a newspaper in the last 3 days? Listened to TV or radio?
No, you see, we have a little summer cabin I wanted to get ready on the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
I drove down to put it in shape while Ted was off in Hawaii on business. There was a lot to be done. It's off-season, so I didn't see any friends. I just holed up, did what had to be done, and came back here to meet my husband. Is he all right?
The man we believe to be your husband is alive and well. He's the lone survivor.
The lone survivor?
I'm sorry to say that. From a series of events quite beyond anyone's control, Flight 8657, bound for Hawaii, was forced to ditch in the Pacific about 50 miles off the shoreline.
Oh.
In spite of every action that could have been taken, the plane and all the passengers were lost, except one. Your husband.
My husband? But how do you know that he...
We have satisfactory identification on all other passengers and crew, with that one exception.
Well, why couldn't you identify him directly?
Your husband had been in the water some time. To make staying afloat easier, he had gotten rid of his clothing. There were no papers to identify him with.
Oh, but why couldn't you just ask him who he was? You said he was alive and well.
He is. But unfortunately, although the doctors seem to believe it's only a temporary condition, he has amnesia. He couldn't tell us who he was.
Oh, I see. But then how did you find out?
Well, Mr. Henderson explained that, Mrs. Williams. The police got called in to cross-check. Now, your husband wouldn't allow us to take a picture of him or fingerprint him for identification. So we checked with Honolulu, found out your husband was booked into a hotel there, and had a business deal on the fire.
We kept calling you, but there was no answer.
So I read the signals wrong. I thought maybe something had happened to you. What can I say? I'm sorry.
Just don't say anything. I want both of you out of my house this minute.
Wait a minute. Don't you want to go to the hospital and see your husband?
Look, I can manage to get there by myself.
Well, we'd like to go along. Matter of identification. We'd just like to be sure that he is your husband.
I don't need you to recognize my own husband.
No, it's just that we need you. Wait a minute. I'll tell you what. You got a picture of your husband here we could use for identification?
No. You see, Ted despised having pictures taken. Any time I did take one, he would tear it up. Now, will you please leave?
Mrs. Henderson, if I was in your position, I'd want to see my husband as fast as possible.
Now, Mr. Williams, I have a visitor for you.
Who, Dr. Sedgefield?
Let you see for yourself. Your wife.
All right now.
Don't get excited.
No!
Now, Mrs. Williams, are you...
Don't worry about me, Doctor. Just worry about that poor man. I'm sorry. I never saw him before in my life.
But it's impossible, Lieutenant. If he isn't her husband, who else can he be?
I knew my hunch couldn't be all that wrong. Now I see the whole thing. The dame is lying all the way.
You mean the man in the hospital room is Theodore Williams?
Him?
No, I don't know who he is.
We'll catch up with him. I knew before we even got to the hospital he wasn't her husband.
How?
Well, she said her husband doesn't like photographs, right?
Yes.
So how come suddenly in the fireplace of the study I find the ashes of some photograph albums and some old frames thrown away in the basement? But still hanging on the wall of the upstairs hall, there's a picture of the babe with a guy, and on the back of it says, Jackie and me, summer 1975, to my dear wife, from Ted.
And the man in it?
A guy, nothing here nor there. Except you couldn't mistake him for your patient. You know what the big question is?
I am afraid. What?
Well, it ain't so much who's in that hospital room. It's like in that TV show. Will the real Mr. Williams please stand up? Let me ask you a question. Just what do you suppose has happened to him? Detective Lieutenant Calisi.
Oh, this is Dr. Sedgefield, Center Hospital.
Oh, yeah, sure, Doctor. How's your patient? Did he come too?
I wish that was what I had to report, but I'm afraid I have some bad news for you.
Yeah, what they make cops for, so there's some place to tell it. What's wrong?
Well, Lieutenant, I don't know how it happened. Someone was careless enough to leave a pile of clean, orderly uniforms in his, well, you know, in Mr. X's room.
Well, how could a thing like that happen?
I don't know. Some orderly was bringing them up from laundry and stopped in there, and I don't know how it happened. But I must say that your police guard wasn't on the ball either. He left the door unguarded to get coffee, and Mr. X put on one of the orderly suits and has simply disappeared.
Well, how do you like that?
That we've stopped riding around like maniacs, maybe you'll explain to me what's going on, Lieutenant.
Oh, sure. Let's just pull over, find a nice spot where the reception's good. About 100 yards after the next crossroad, Bonnie, on the right. Yeah, off the road, under the trees.
Look, it's getting dark, but isn't this on the way to Mrs. Williams' house?
That's right. Just a couple of blocks away.
You think the man who escaped will be making for her house?
Yeah, I'm counting he will. Otherwise, it might make it tougher for us.
And supposing he doesn't?
Oh, he's being followed. He can't get away.
He already did. From the hospital.
Yeah, well, we made that easy for him. We knew the dude would make the first break he could.
The dude? You know who he is?
Oh, sure. More or less.
I don't understand.
Well, now, which name would you like? Benny Dude Tate, Bernard Tateson, Bartholomew Taft III. That's the one he's been using until his accident caused a temporary loss of memory. Or any of a long list of others. Listen, he's got a long record. Extortion, con games, womanizing, misrepresentation, grand larceny. Everything so far but the big M.
How did you find out who he is?
Look, this amnesia. Now, I'm no doctor. I can't make a judgment on that. But give me some facts to add up. A guy who can't say who he is. A woman who says he's not a husband who was supposed to be on the plane. And at the same time says she has no pictures of her husband. Forgetting that the way people do, you know. One little picture hanging up on the hall stairs. I knew there was something out of whack. So my guy, standing guard, just picks up a glass, the nurse brings out, we lift the fingerprints. 3 hours later, we got a make. Benny the Dude.
I'm still completely bewildered. What was he doing on the plane pretending to be Theodore Williams?
Yes, hold it a minute.
No,
not yet.
Look, Mr. Henderson, here's a guy who's a lot older than his wife, but he's got plenty of the long green. He's going to Hawaii with $250,000 worth of diamonds to deal with some guys who never met him. His wife is bored. She's been playing around with... guess who?
Benny the Dude.
Bernard, this time around. Now, suppose they get greedy and get a notion they could knock off Theodore and take off with the diamonds. Only, how not to get caught?
Bernard plans to go to Hawaii, posing as Williams. Only what does he do? Sell the diamonds and get the money?
Well, maybe. Maybe he plans to check in a hotel, rough up the room, just disappear and take a plane back home. While the police figure Williams and the diamonds got heisted in Honolulu. I like that. More like Benny's M.O. and,
That's what we're waiting for. Now, hold it.
Who is it?
Take it easy. It's me, Bernard.
What are you doing here? How'd you get in?
Listen, any dame tries to double-cross me, baby, finds out there's no way you can close me out.
What do you mean, double-cross?
The hospital today. Why didn't you tell him I was your husband? You could have sprung me.
Too dangerous. Too many people who knew Ted. Look, if we ever got connected and they found Ted where we... I mean, I don't want either of us convicted for murder.
You know something, baby? They can only hang you for it once. It's too bad it didn't go as planned. It was all so simple. Diamond merchant travels to the city of romance and disappears overnight with his quarter grand of shinies. Then I come back and you and me walk hand in hand into the sunset with a nice green halo around our heads. Only it didn't pan out.
Did you really have amnesia?
Well, yeah, at first. Then when I came to, what other way was there to play it? Except... where were you?
Oh, Bernard, I couldn't stand being in this house, knowing he was walled up in the basement. I just went to the summer camp to hide until you came back. But now it's all gone wrong. What are we gonna do?
We ain't gonna do nothing, baby. First thing I did was make sure the stones were still where they were. I got them now, and I'm taking off.
But what about me?
The diamonds were all I came back for, babe. Except...
No! What are you going to do? Now, Ted, please don't kill...
Good Lord, Lieutenant, what are you doing? You can't let it...
No, don't worry, Mr. Henderson. The house is crawling with cops. We were waiting for Benny to make his return.
You arranged the escape?
Oh, yeah.
And you... planted microphones in the house to have them convict themselves.
Correction on that. I wouldn't know just how those mics got there. You know as well as I do that isn't evidence can be used in court. Even having you as a witness.
Well, then why?
Well, we don't want to let these people get away with it, do we, Mr. Henderson? I'm not going to. Now I've got the hard police work to do. Digging up enough objective evidence to make a case. But you and the airlines can help me now that you know the truth. Deal?
It's a deal. What tragic irony. All those lives. Innocent people. And one man escapes. The only one who deserves to die. The lone survivor.
Oh, I think between us we can arrange that Benny and Mrs. Williams won't survive all that long.
An intriguing maze of twists and turns, wasn't it? Ending in the old, old story of lust and greed. But the old axiom is still true. Man proposes, God disposes. And a sharp-eyed lieutenant who realized that the dust on his shoulder was fresh plaster and that one photograph is worth a thousand words contributed a worthy assist. I'll be back shortly.
The most important people, since people first began, are children to them. town. To learn what you can give, call your local UNICEF committee or write UNICEF, United Nations, New York.
John Donne, the great English poet, who said it. No man is an island entire of itself. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. The profound philosophy would have escaped a man who lived only for himself, like Benny, or as selfish and unfeeling a woman as Jackie. Yet the words will serve well enough for their epitaph. They were found guilty of the murder of Theodore Williams. So at the last, in this tragedy, there were no survivors. Our cast included Russell Horton, Ian Martin, Bryna Rayburn, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You walk out. And I'll see that the guards will let you through.
But
he won't remember that nothing happened. He won't remember a thing. Just keep your head. Now, come. Come in. You see, there he is, sprawled on his couch. Listen to him. There, behold the great lover. Dead to the world. He can sleep like this for days. You're going to have a very dull night.
Where are you going? Don't leave me, please.
I'll have to lock you in. But I'll open the door at dawn to let you out.
Oh, don't go. Please don't go.
A shame you didn't bring anything to nip.
Oh, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
South Michigan Avenue offers giant savings on MG Midgets. Take your choice of these lowest priced, true economy sports models and get a fabulous bonus from Bell. Free AM/FM radio, free special striping, free wheel trim rims, free luggage rack, all plus a Bell bottom price on your new MG Midget. It's part of the big year-end sale at Bell Auto with MGs and MGBs, the entire MG line at the best of savings. Hundreds of folks have saved thousands of dollars at Bell, where their 55-year reputation rides with you. Bell services what Bell sells. And you'll find the biggest import car service and parts department in the Midwest on four giant floors conveniently near downtown at 2500 South Michigan Avenue. Bell's open daily till 7, Saturday till 5, closed Sunday. Bell Auto Imports, minutes away at 25th and Michigan.
CBS News, the U.S. Coast Guard is trying to decide how to dispose of the oil still on board the tanker Argo Merchant. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Dead birds are already starting to wash up on Nantucket beaches. Russell Train, head of the Environmental Protection Agency, says it's the worst oil spill ever on the Atlantic coast. More than 5 million gallons of oil has been dumped into the water, and there is grave concern about the Georges Bank fishing ground. As bad as the damage is already, the Coast Guard wants to try to keep it from getting worse. A report from Jack Harper of Station WEEI in Boston.
The Coast Guard is now considering three possible alternatives to dispose of the remaining oil on board the Argo Merchant. Best estimates indicate approximately 2 million gallons of thick pudding-like oil is still on board. The alternatives include towing the bow section containing the oil out to sea, pumping the remaining oil into barges, or pumping it overboard. Coast Guard spokesman Raymond Fullerton outlines the course which will most likely be followed.
The most desirable alternative of the three plans is to right the forward portion, the bow portion of the vessel, to get it straightened out level in the water, to seal it up and to tow it out and to sink it in perhaps 3 miles of water.
How long that operation will take and when it can be undertaken remain uncertain because of rough weather in the area 27 miles off Nantucket. Rough weather churning 12-foot seas over the remains of the broken Argo Merchant. Jack Harper for CBS News, Boston.
More news in a moment.
He touched me. He put his hand near mine and then he touched me.
Touch her with Chantilly and suddenly nothing is the same.
When he touched me, a glow, a glow.
Touch her with Chantilly.
A jury in Paterson, New Jersey, Tuesday night found Reuben Hurricane Carter and John Artis guilty in their second-degree murder trial. They were convicted of killing three people in a Paterson bar 10 years ago. Both men had been convicted in their original trials and spent 9 years in prison. They will be sentenced again on February 2nd. At San Francisco International Airport Tuesday evening, a United Airlines employee took two fellow workers hostage at gunpoint and commandeered an empty DC-8 airliner. The man is demanding that the plane be refueled and that food and a flight crew be brought aboard. The man fired one shot from his gun. An airport spokesman says that was to emphasize his demands. He has not said where he wants to go. The man is identified as 37-year-old Palm Hinnett, a United employee on sick leave. President-elect Carter has named the first black to his cabinet. He chose Washington attorney Patricia Harris to head the Department of Housing and Urban Development. As expected, Mr. Carter named Caltech President Harold Brown Secretary of Defense. Ray Marshall, a labor economist, was chosen Secretary of Labor. There are reports that on Thursday, Mr. Carter will complete the formation of his cabinet by naming Joseph Califano Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. Califano was President Johnson's chief domestic advisor. President-elect Carter, Vice President Rockefeller, and Senator Edward Kennedy will be among the dignitaries attending Wednesday's funeral in Chicago for Mayor Richard Daley. Thousands of people stood for hours in 11-degree weather to get inside the church where Daley's body is lying. The church may be open all night for those who come to pay their respects. In London, an authoritative publication, Jane's Catalogue of the World's Fighting Aircraft, urges the United States to stop arguing over the cost of the B-1 bomber and start building the aircraft. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months.